Well, today we continue our exploration of the Bible. The series of exploring the Bible has been designed to help us all become more personally acquainted with the Scriptures. Personally acquainted. You see, not just acquainted with what other people say about the Scriptures, not just acquainted with how they get quoted or thrown around, but for each of us as people to begin to experience the Bible, all of its 66 books, for what it is, for what it isn't, but most importantly, for what it has to say to us. The idea that we might take this big book that has such a powerful place in history and realize that it's meant to be opened and explored and looked at, and hopefully, by gaining a little bit of insight into what it is, we might feel more comfortable listening for what it says. Having spent our first few weeks in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, we now find ourselves in the New Testament. We did the New Testament a little flip-flopped. 2 weeks ago, we opened the letters, known as the epistles, which in Greek means to send news. And we heard about the news that was sent. We considered how Paul's writing offers us correction and encouragement and connection. Today, we go to the beginning of the New Testament as we turn to the Gospels. The Gospels, those four books telling the narrative of Jesus of Nazareth, his birth, his life, his teachings, his miracles, his death and resurrection. The four Gospels in our Bible, and mind you, there are more that did not make it in. There's a Gospel of Mary. Oh, the Gospel of Judas had a moment a few years ago. There's a lot of beautiful writing out there. But the four Gospels included in our Scriptures all represent different ways of telling Jesus' story to different audiences, highlighting different experiences that help us come to know Jesus more. There were so many accounts written about Jesus. I mean, he was kind of a big deal. So lots of people had lots to say. And these are the four that made it in. In fact, there were so many writings about Jesus going on, the author of Luke even comments on it in its opening. This is the opening verses of the Gospel of Luke. "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who were first eyewitnesses in service of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too have decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know with certainty of these things you are being taught." It's funny, we often skip over the opening verses of Matthew and Mark and Luke. John usually gets some play at Christmas time. But Luke, we usually dive into chapter 2 at Christmas and dig into that kind of stuff. And we sometimes skip these beautiful introductions that tell us so much about what the Gospels were trying to accomplish. I love it. There have been so many writings, so many accounts. Here's my take, Luke tells us. Now, the Gospels in our Bible show up in the order of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The four Gospels appear not in the order they were written. They actually appear in the order as to which Gospels won the most votes during a theological argument about the nature of Christ. Because each one shows Jesus in a little bit of a different way, and they're like, well, how should we show Jesus? Show of hands. This one, okay. Most people like him this way, so we'll put that one first. And then they filled in the others. Mark is actually the Gospel that was written first. It was written about 30 years after Jesus' death. That would make it about 66 CE, for those of you keeping track on a timeline. Then Matthew and Luke were written a couple decades later. Matthew and Luke were written in the 80s. If you want to remember that, picture Matthew and Luke with mullets, listening to hair bands, jean jackets. That's where they find themselves. Now, copies of Mark were actually circulating around at the time that Matthew and Luke were writing their stories. In fact, biblical scholars can tell because if you look at Matthew and Luke, they both, though they didn't know each other were writing, tell some of the same stories in the same way, the way that they were told in Mark. So they were going to the older accounts, like Luke mentioned, and saying, ooh, this is good stuff, let's use this. In fact, there was even another source they both went to that we don't have anymore, but we know this other source existed because, again, Matthew and Luke were like, ooh, good stories. And it shows up in both of their writings. They were engaged in using the material around them to help tell the story of Jesus. Now, that was the 80s. Another couple decades passed before a community of people compiled the Gospel of John in the early 100s. John wasn't written by a single person, but a community of folks actually sort of lived out removed from everyone else, passing on what they'd learned about Jesus It's filled with the I am statements. It's filled with all sorts of pronouncements of how this community saw Jesus. Now, one of my favorite biblical scholars, Dominic Crossan, notes that the vast time between Christ's life and the writing of the Gospels, it doesn't need to be seen as suspect, which is honestly how I saw it when I first learned this. They wrote it when? Well, how on earth could anybody remember anything by then? I mean, what are they just making things up? I wasn't sure. I was quite skeptical. And I was at a conference with Dominic Crossan and heard him specifically address this as if he knew the skepticism inside my brain. When I was concerned about how nothing could be that accurate that many years later, I was encouraged when I heard him address us saying, you know, doesn't it say something about Christ's impact that people were still trying to articulate all that he meant to them that many years after? Oh, it was an appreciative way to look at all these things, not out of a critical, did Jesus say it, but these are the things people remembered and valued and held even that much later. Because in a way, that's what all of the Gospels are doing. They are trying to say something about all that Jesus meant to the people who were doing the writing. For the people writing them, for the people who would read them, the Gospels had one job, and that was to share good news. Actually, the word gospel means good news in Greek. That's what we actually hear at the beginning of the Gospel of Mark. Mark opens this way. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. Or, spoken another way, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. Since all of these gospels were trying to be and share good news, people just started referring to them as the good news, and the name stuck. These are the good news books. The author Mark opens by declaring, listen, this is the beginning of the good news. Because that's what its author found in the life and story of Jesus. The story of Jesus wasn't just some sort of biography of a notable figure. It wasn't just some sort of founding narrative of a religious order. It wasn't just the retelling of an old story that everybody already had heard. When people received the gospel, when they saw that good news, it was news and it was good. Because in that story, in our gospels, is the love of God made real. And that is and was good news. The proclamation of God's kingdom here and now, that was good news. The blessing of redemption over brokenness. The joy of relationship over estrangement. The triumph of life over death. This was good news. And I tell you, people of all backgrounds and locations were hearing this story and the news that it brought. And the exciting good news was it brought something for everyone. I mean, sure, the power of the Easter story is global. But there were people who had been cast aside by life, who in the good news were hearing the story of Jesus eating dinner with outcasts. And so while they received the Easter message, they heard a story about them, bringing good news to them. I mean, sure, the hope, peace, love, and joy of Christmas is uplifting, but there were people who had disappointed everyone, including themselves, hearing stories of new beginnings and prodigal children being welcomed home. It was a story about them, bringing good news to them. And sure, the Sermon on the Mount covered a lot of important religious topics of the day. But there were women and children hearing that they were valued, named as important in God's vision for the world. It was a story about them, bringing good news to them. See, that's the greatest news of all the good news. The Gospels tell a story of Jesus that has something to say to each of us, whoever we are, wherever we find ourselves, whatever life has brought. The life, teachings, death, and resurrection of Jesus, the gospel story of Jesus shared for you to find the good news that God has something to say to you. I wore this stole today because it's Mother's Day. This is the stole my grandma made for me. Actually, she didn't make the stole. She made the baby blanket the stole is made from. My baby blankets were made out of handkerchiefs, and when this one got too worn to be a blanket anymore, it got set aside and saved because I wouldn't let my family do anything else with it. And I had it turned into a stole. Grandma Lorvik, my dad's mom, very crafty woman. Oh, so many things. Her house, our house, any house of anyone who knew her has wall hangings, all these little projects and things, lots of cross stitch, lots of quilting. Sue, you would have loved her. Actually, you know her. I think you do love her. It's great. So here's what's fun. She had all these amazing projects, and they were the kind of thing that as a child I would just stare at with wonder, and I would admire them and long to know more about them and maybe even to have one. And there was a day I got invited to come sit with her while she started a new project. She called me over, we sat down in the chair, and she says, okay, I've got this new project. It's a latch hook project. So the latch hook was this little thing, and it had a little flippy gate on it, and you'd take a single string of carpet, put it on there, and go through this little mesh and pull, and it would tie it around it, and you put one single string on a carpet backing. And so she showed me how to put it on and how to do it and how to use it. I see a couple of you nodding like, yeah, I did that project. And so we started this project, and we talked, and I was shown how this would work, and this was already really cool. Here I was learning about one of the projects my grandma would do. But then I started to look, and it's this, you know, little backing, and I'm looking at it, and there's some green spots and some color on it. I'm like, what is this thing? She goes, well, it's easiest to tell when it's done, but this is a brontosaurus. It was a dinosaur! It suddenly became clear to me. I thought this was already neat and exciting and wonderful, but all of a sudden, I realized something I hadn't noticed. This was for me. Suddenly, it was this personal project. Not just something that was there that was nice in and of itself. Suddenly, this was for me. But it wasn't something I was just going to receive finished. It was something we would work on together. And then I would be given to finish. I think of our Gospels this way. The stories of Jesus are wonderful and admirable and things we can look at and say, well, those are quite nice stories. But that's not the good news. I mean, the scriptures of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they invite us to sit and look more closely at the living, and that's great, but that's not the good news. The good news of the Gospels is found when you realize that what is in front of you was chosen and crafted with you in mind. You. This is for you. That's what it's teaching us. It's teaching us that we're invited to be active participants in what is there in front of us. That the gospel, not the words on the page or the books in the Bible, the gospel meaning the good news of Jesus has been given to you for you to create something with it in this world. To find healing, to seek justice, to experience peace, to share joy, to know yourself loved, and to see everyone welcomed into God's vision of the world here and now. It's what we've been handed, and that is good news. Amen.